And it's just about having a new kind of look on what we can do with fashion. These circular business models, there's so much potential, and it's just about being innovative with how we can prolong clothing's lifespan and not just create newness all the time.
Hi, I'm Sebastian Volney, and this is the Sustainable Fashion Wingman, the podcast talking to the experts and innovators working to make fashion more positive for people and the planet. If you're enjoying the podcast, remember to follow on your favourite podcast platform and invite your friends to listen too. And why not connect with me over on LinkedIn if you have any suggestions of topics for the show that you'd like to hear about. Now, we like to bring you information about different approaches to positive fashion. So today we're talking to a brand owner about circular design. Founder of the award-winning brand Fanfare Label, Esther Knight isn't new to fashion, and it was with this background that has prompted Esther to look for a solution to the ever-increasing waste impacts of the industry. Not only a brand owner, but also a dedicated supporter of sustainable fashion, Esther can often be found speaking on the subject at events, conferences, and in the media, in her mission to educate and bring clarity to the subject of sustainable fashion. Hi Esther, nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you. Thanks for the intro. It was great.
You're welcome. It's great to have you on the podcast to talk with us today. Obviously, we're going to talk about circular fashion and the mission behind the Fanfare label, so we're quite excited about that. Now, although you started at Fanfare roughly about 3 years ago, you've been in the fashion industry for a while yourself. Can you tell us a bit about your background and how it brought you to where you are today?
Yeah, of course. Fanfare Label's been trading just over 2 years now. And before starting up Fanfare Label, I've had around 10 to 15 years in the fashion industry. So I've worked for many high street brands and designer brands. And then the last brand I worked for before Fanfare Label was at Vivienne Westwood. So I trained to be a buyer, and then got my first graduate role. So I've worked for companies like Barber, Arcadia, Topshop, Coast, and a few others as well. And particularly because I was a buyer in the industry, it meant that I had a direct contribution on supply chains, workers, and the environment. And that's why I started to look into sustainability.
Absolutely. Understanding and relate with you there, having the exposure in the industry myself, and you realise this could be done better, right?
Yeah, exactly. And don't get me wrong, I did try and change from within and did everything I can there, but it just got to the point where I wanted to use my skills and experience to contribute positively to this industry and do something that I would be proud of.
That's excellent. Yeah, it's very important to be able to work in a job or your own business that has purpose, because it makes you more motivated. And when did you realise that you wanted to do things more responsibly? What was the first signs of, you know, the need to be sustainable?
I think it was straight away, to be honest. First graduate job, you could see it straight away. I'd gone from Barber, where majority of things were made locally in nice factories within Newcastle. That was a really nice family-run business. I really liked Barber and I really enjoyed my time there. And then I moved to kind of fast fashion after that, and I just saw the contrast, and I saw that people were just being treated appallingly. And that's even in the UK, where we talk about sustainability, we often think about workers' rights and lack of health and safety and even slavery in fashion supply chains. A lot of people also don't see that the people that work for these fashion companies are going through a lot as well, and they're being treated really bad. They've got no self-confidence. They're being spoken to. They're just really demotivated. And so that was the first turning point, just realising that actually I was fed up of hearing the words, that's the nature of fashion, or that's the nature of buying, which is a justification for bad behaviour, rather than actually thinking, oh, well, what if we made, like, that's the nature of fashion, what if we made that, like, about empowerment or creativity or respect? Because you get so much more out of your workforce when you respect, empower and encourage them. And so that was the first point. And then I started to see the supply chain issues as well.
That's amazing. And it's very true. And again, I can relate to that entire experience, but it's actually really great as well that I hear from a lot of people that they're wanting to see a different change in the industry. And I think we are seeing that change with a lot of brands putting empowerment, putting kind of respect at the front of their business, which is a great way to go for the industry. And I'm pleased that so many people are actually doing that now. What are the main issues that you think are there with the main kind of standard business model industry, not just necessarily the what you just talked about with the way that people are treating the industry, but with the way that, you know, the product is produced?
Well, I think it's across the board. Sustainability is 360. You've got to consider every single aspect. But I think the wider problems is this need that we've got into about overconsumption and the whole idea that we're creating clothing as cheap as possible, as much as possible, and just consuming it continually. And I think that that's the issue, is that we've actually lost the value of how much clothes cost in reality. And because there's so much pressure to create cheap clothing, fast and cheap, and there's loads of it, it means that we're losing, corners are being cut. So that's related to the workforce and the environment. And that's where we get the phrase disposable fashion, because it's so cheap, it's not well made, and it is a throwaway piece. And then we end up in the whole landfill crisis that we've got. So I think it's that kind of business model that is just about creating cheap and fast product, essentially fast fashion, disposable fashion, and the whole overconsumption culture that we've got into at the moment.
Yeah, I can understand that. It's and it's also something that I hear a lot from people, is that it is a knock-on effect. If you're producing fast, cheap, that does affect the people who are making it as well, and affects them in the supply chain. So you're right when you say that is a 360 kind of overview. Everything is connected. So you feel it is necessarily, you know, that the fast overconsumption model that is causing waste. And then, of course, it causes lower wages and it causes injustices within the supply chain as well. It's true. Now, you've set out to tackle the issues of waste and overconsumption with a circular model for Fanfare. Can you give us a description of what circular design involves, especially within your brand, and how it's a more sustainable approach?
Yeah, of course. So we follow the Ellen MacArthur principles, really, which is about ensuring that we're designing out waste, so waste doesn't exist. So it for me, I couldn't really justify setting up a sustainable brand without considering what's already been created. We don't need more stuff. So the whole premise of the brand is about creating longevity in items, making people cherish their pieces, and then prolonging clothing's lifespan. So we do that through our recycled, upcycled, repurposed collection. So we take clothing and textile waste that would have gone to landfill or that's post-consumer, and we repurpose it into new garments, so that we're preventing items going to landfill and we're prolonging clothing's lifespan. And so we're tackling what's already been created by other companies and other brands. And then alongside that, we have our sustainably designed collection, which is using all the latest innovative sustainable materials, making sure that garments can biodegrade at end of life, and just making sure there's a closed loop system. I think circularity has loads of different models. So some of them are what I've mentioned before about repurposing, reusing, recycling. The other aspects are rental, and then you've got the design element, which we look into, so zero waste, pattern cutting, and making sure that garments can biodegrade or be reused or recycled at the end of life, and you're able to separate the fibres so that they can then go back into the system. So it's just about this idea that waste doesn't exist, and that you're trying to close the loop and get everything going round in a circle.
I like that. I like the fact that you're actually not just making it circular from a design point of view in your own brand, but you're already starting with product that's been made. So you're already addressing the waste issue right at the beginning there, because obviously there's a lot of product that can be used again, but usually, like you say, it ends up in landfill. And so at least you're addressing that part. And of course, like you said, I know that you use three different types of approaches: upcycled, premium vintage, and sustainably designed. So you're addressing the whole kind of, how would you say, the life cycle of the product?
Yeah, exactly. So it's not just looking at creating newness all the time, but it's also just looking at what's already out there and how we can be resourceful with it. Because especially when it comes to denim, people are throwing away or getting rid of really good quality clothes that don't need to be thrown. So it's about just prolonging those items.
Yeah, I think prolonging the life of products is also another way of making things more sustainable as well. And like you say, putting the value back into products, which I guess people have discarded and no longer valued. So that's kind of bringing them back to life, as it were.
Yeah.
You talked a little bit about, you know, your upcycling movement and your sustainable design. What's the premium vintage part of your label?
So this is to do with vintage, which is also very sustainable, the idea of not producing new. So we've got a recent collaboration at the moment where we repair and we repurpose vintage clothing, again, to prevent anything going to landfill, and we repurpose it. So at the moment, we painted a load of vintage items after we'd repaired and cleaned and sorted out them. We collaborated with an artist who painted them all, and it's just about having a new kind of look on what we can do with fashion. These circular business models, there's so much potential, and it's just about being innovative with how we can prolong clothing's lifespan and not just create newness all the time.
That sounds amazing, and I think that's something that people need to have a look at on your website, of course.
Yep, definitely.
And what advice can you give to people who are looking to approach fashion in a more circular way? Consumers, for example.
Yeah, so I would just say take it step by step. Things can be very overwhelming, and often when I do these talks and talk about how bad fashion is and everything, I don't do it to make people feel guilty or feel bad about shopping places. It's actually just to educate and encourage and inspire. And so I would just say, take it step by step. It's okay. I used to work in fashion. That's the only reason I know about it. It's okay that you're learning at this stage. And I would just take it slow. So what are the things that you care about the most? So do you care about people's rights, or do you care about the environment, animal rights, and just tackle one aspect at a time, and then try and find brands that coincide with your values. I think shopping small is just a brilliant way to start, and moving away from these big corporations. We can't trust them. We can't trust their motives. They've had their chance, and now it's time to support smaller brands that are set up on the right moral values. And I would also say that just do your research. There's lots of sustainability resources out there, like the Fashion Revolution, Fashion Roundtable, Ellen MacArthur, and do your research into sustainability. Know your things, so know your stuff. So if big brands are greenwashing, you can spot it. Just be very cautious about some sustainability claims, and I would just say always just support small businesses.
It's great advice. And obviously with the podcast, we try to bring a lot of this information directly to our listeners as well, so they know where they can go for these resources. As a business that only started up in, you know, just over two and a half years ago, did you find there was many challenges in starting as a, you know, a circular design business, but also trying to make it profitable?
Yeah, definitely. I think that there's been a big sustainability boom in the last year, and the pandemic has just accelerated it, really. But when I first started out, I've been championing sustainability for over 10 years now. There just was no infrastructure in place, so it was really hard to actually find fabrics, and you have to do things very differently. In industry, for example, you design a collection and then you find fabrics that fit your design, whereas in sustainable fashion you kind of have to do it the other way around, because you're designing things and then you find out that fabric doesn't exist that you even want to find in the first place. So you kind of have to search for all your fabrics and then design based on what you can actually get access to. So I definitely think that there's a lot of infrastructure that needs to take place within fabric sourcing and the fabrics that are available without high minimums. We are on the cusp of that and know that a lot of changes are happening. So that was definitely one barrier, that the design process and the manufacturing process just takes so much longer, because you're doing everything is considered. Yeah, just again, all resources go into supply chain and stock and making sure that everything's responsible. So it's hard for any small business to get known and invest in marketing and things like that. And so when you are sustainable, every bit of resource is going towards your supply chain that you have to build slowly and organically. But then that's great because we've got a loyal community that we've built over this time, and it's really nice.
That's great to hear. I was going to ask, actually, you know, do you find a lot more people are kind of opening up to the idea of upcycled garments? But I think your brand's showing that it is becoming quite popular.
Yeah, I think so. I think that when you say sustainable fashion or upcycled, people think it's not very premium product at all. And we're really highlighting the fact that you can get premium product and it still be sustainable and upcycled. So I think that there's been a lot of learning that's happening. I think there's a lot of talk about sustainability and not much action, but it's a process. And I think that the pandemic has accelerated it and got more conversations going. So we're just on the cusp, I think, of change.
It's good to hear that things are happening then with that necessary change, because it can't be easy to work in this kind of upcycling design way, because it's not what the industry has been built to do. So like you say, it is hard to, obviously I can understand, it must be hard to find fabrics that have been wasted or have been used to upcycle rather than just going straight to a mill and buying new like you would normally.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, I want to ask you a little bit about something that everyone's been talking about recently, and that's the UN report about climate change. What was your take on that report?
It was scary, very, very scary, actually. A lot to consider and a lot to mull over, but I think it just shows how urgent the reality is, to be honest, and that we can't do business as usual, we can't do business as normal, and we need radical change, and we need government policies, and we need big corporations to actually start stepping up and doing something about climate change. And yes, there's everything we do as individuals make a difference, but for the big chunk of it, it comes from government and these big corporations. So overall, it was quite worrying, and it's just highlighted everything that we've been talking about for years. And
So do you think the biggest changes will come from government and the corporations?
They need to. They have to. In order, and this doesn't discount the impact that individuals have. We've seen when individuals vote with their wallets and support brands that are doing right, it forces the big guys to change. But the reality is that the government has to bring in some policies around climate change and also have some kind of regulations on these big corporations in order to get the change happening that we need.
So we need the consumer to obviously put pressure, like you say, to vote with their with their wallets, which is often the way that things do change.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think things will change fast enough in the industry?
In the fashion industry, potentially. I can't speak on other industries, but I think there's a lot of people speaking about sustainability. I think that it's going to be really hard for high street brands to make the change, because like we mentioned in the beginning, they've been set up on entirely different business models. They would have to completely change their whole entire organization in order to be sustainable. So there's a lot of talk, not much action, and we are running out of time. So that would make me a bit concerned, but I know that we are headed in the right direction. Whether it's fast enough, I'm not sure.
Fair enough. I think it's important that at least people are trying a lot harder now. And like you said, the pandemic has spurred that on to move faster, which is great. And it's important. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask a little bit about, I know that you recently had a pop-up store in Selfridges, but that's finished now, right?
Yes, that's finished now.
How did that go?
Yeah, it was great. It was brilliant to be part of the initiative. So it's all around what we were speaking about before, this idea of you don't need newness all the time, and kind of opening up the idea that actually, if you are attending a wedding or planning a wedding, why not do something a bit more unusual and buy things that already exist. So within this space, it's called Resell Fridges. And within this space is a massive vintage company, a rental company, and then our section with a few other designers was an upcycled section. So none of it was brand new product just produced. It was all reinventing, repurposing, reusing, all along those kind of circularity sides. So it was really interesting, actually. I loved being alongside rental and vintage. I think it all, the concept goes really hand in hand. There were some other great designers producing dresses for guests and weddings that were all completely made of upcycled materials. We had some items in there as well. And then there was a section within the store where customers would come in and upcycle their old wedding dress, because a lot of people, when they get married, don't do anything with their wedding dress. So this is an opportunity to sit down with a designer and actually design something out of it.
That's amazing. It looked really great. And I've seen all the images. I've not been into the shop myself, but I saw the images and it looked fantastic. And you're right. And it is one of those niche areas, like children's wear, like wedding dresses or festival outfit, clothing that is only generally used once or twice or very short period of time. And it's great that there's kind of like companies that are tackling those niche areas as well, because we often forget about them as well, even though they have even a bigger impact because they're not worn that for that long or they're discarded straight away. So it's a fantastic idea. Do you think you'll be doing more pop-up shops in the future?
Yeah, we did a lot before the pandemic, and our focus is online. We do have an event next week for Fashion Week, which is a pop-up shop and like some speaking events and tutorials and things like that. But potentially, we'll have to see. It was great. It's a bit weird going back into the land of pop-up shops now after we've been indoors for so long. But we're definitely looking into it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a slow approach back to those kind of things, I think, for people, especially as they're trying. Even though people are like obviously able to go back into shops, I think a lot of people are still a bit wary for the time being, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, it sounded really fun and it looked really popular, so at least I think it worked at the time, so that was fantastic. Well, yeah. Esther, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. We've really enjoyed learning a bit about Fanfare and how you're contributing to a more alternative and better way of doing fashion. Obviously, my listeners, if you'd like to learn more about Fanfare and circular fashion, follow the link in the episode description. Thank you very much again for listening. As always, I have been Sebastian. This has been the Sustainable Fashion Wingman, helping you dress, live, and work more sustainably.